Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, as we heard earlier, the Cabinet gathered at Avondale House in Wicklow today for their first meeting of the political term. And this afternoon, following that meeting, the Minister for Agriculture announced the department's long-awaited forestry programme, which aims to increase afforestation through a number of grants to landowners. And Minister Charlie McConnell joins us now in studio. You're very welcome, Minister, to the programme this evening.
Good evening, Sarah.
Before we get on to what you announced today, you will have heard there in the news headlines and indeed in the news over the last couple of hours that the UK government has passed a final vote in Westminster today to pass the controversial legacy legislation. And I just wanted to ask you about that because we were speaking to Patsy Kelly a little earlier in the show and he was referencing the Taoiseach's response to this, the Taoiseach talking about possible legal actions. And Patsy Kelly said the Taoiseach needs to be much stronger than that. He said it's time now for the Irish government, US congressmen, the EU, the UN, everybody to stand up to this, to speak with one voice and to say that this is a flagrant abuse of human rights and the actions of a rogue state. Do you agree with that?
We absolutely are opposed to the approach that the British government is taking, and it's very disappointing to see that despite the opposition that we as a government have made very clear to this throughout, and indeed despite the fact that all political parties in Northern Ireland are united in their opposition to this legislation from the British government as well, that they have driven it through and indeed passed it today. This legislation is not victim-centred. We don't believe it's the way to deal with the past or indeed to give a proper due care to the trauma and experience of those who were victims from the Troubles and to deal with that appropriately. And the Taoiseach has indicated clearly that the government are seeking legal advice and we certainly haven't ruled out taking legal action in relation to this, but it's something that we wouldn't do without due care and consideration.
We're fully considering
that at the moment and how to
respond. How much time do you need for that? Because Micheál Martin met Troubles victims back in April talking about the possibility of the Irish government taking the UK government to court, and at that time back in April, he said all cards were on the table. So surely 5 months is enough time for preparatory work to be put in place that we're ready for this decision to say this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, all cards have been on the table. But I mean, first and foremost, this has always been our approach, the diplomatic approach, engaging bilaterally with the British government. And I mean, you know, the success of the Northern Irish peace process has always worked best when both governments have worked closely together. And it's been really, really unfortunate and dismaying to see over the last period of time the British government unilaterally take this approach in relation to this legislation. So up until now, and I think rightly so, the government have been engaging diplomatically to very strongly put across our views in relation to this. Obviously, the British government have only, it's today that it has passed the House of Commons. We certainly as a government now will consider in that and consider all options as well in relation to it.
If there's a case there, would you like to see it taken?
I think if it's possible to achieve it, and if our advice is that it has a strong chance of success, then it's certainly something the government would very strongly consider. But as I say, it's really disappointing to see that the approach that we've taken in terms of trying to get the British government to change their approach to this and take on board not just our own concerns and opposition, but the opposition of all parties in Northern Ireland has been tremendously disappointing. And as a government now, we will reflect on the options available.
Yeah, and just finally on this, is it damaging to UK-Irish relations, do you think? Further damaging?
Oh, I think it is. It's not the way to operate. It's not the way that has brought success in the past. We've had a great partnership in relation to actually bringing about real progress in Northern Ireland in relation to achieving the Good Friday Agreement in the first place and dealing with many of the issues that have arisen since that. And that has been based on a strong, you know, multilateral and bilateral approach between both governments. And it has been a real source of disappointment to the Irish government to see the British government take this approach. And it certainly has been very, very unhelpful to relations and very unhelpful as well to, you know, successfully bringing forward Northern Ireland.
I'll move on, Minister, to what you announced today, this new €1.3 billion fund for afforestation. How much will be available to farmers then under the scheme? How will it work?
Well, it's a €1.3 billion fund, and it's a really, really significant step forward. And I believe it is going to make forestry really attractive to farmers across this country. So we've increased premiums, annual premiums, for example, by between 44 and 66%. And a significant step we've also taken in the outgoing forestry programme, everyone, whether you're a farmer or not, you could avail of those premiums for up to 15 years. In this programme now, farmers will be able to avail of premiums for up to 20 years. So it's very much tilted towards farmers, because we know that farmers are the stewards of this country, of the land of this country. We want to see farmers look at how they can incorporate forestry into their land holding as a diversification of income, and also as something that will contribute significantly as well to diversity in relation to the environment, contributing to biodiversity, and also contributing, really importantly, to producing wood and to building an industry which can significantly move away from carbon in terms of the years ahead, and ensure that we have the wood available to have modern methods of construction, for example, and less carbon intensive means of construction. So I think the plan, I hope, is one which we will now see, and the focus will be in communicating to farmers the positivity of it. So, for example, yeah. Sarah,
can I just ask you firstly, why is it just not just farmers, but why is it so heavily weighted towards farmers? It's much more beneficial for them.
Well, because we believe farm families, we want to see sustainable farm families in the country.
Yeah.
And we want to see farm families consider forestry as part of their farm holding. And also, at the moment, farmers have the land in the country. We want to see those that have that land and those farm families that have it. We want to incentivise them to actually, where it's appropriate and where they're interested, to actually adopt forestry as part of that. And one, for example, to give you one example, in relation to broadleaf trees now under this new forestry programme, annual premiums of €1,100 per hectare per year will be available, and available for up to 20 years. So over a 20-year period, a farm family who plants a hectare of their land now in broadleaf trees will receive €22,000 over that 20-year period. And that's tax-free as well. And also, it's in addition to a plantation grant, which will actually cover the cost of planting it in the first place.
Okay.
So I believe the premium rates are really attractive, and our focus now will be ensuring that farmers actually consider it, and that hopefully there will be a good uptake and a strong uptake.
And in that context then, does that cast a new light on the joint venture between Quilshire and Gresham House in terms of allowing Quilshire to bring in a private company to buy up land to plant trees? Wouldn't it be much better to allow farmers to buy up the land and plant trees and keep it all here?
And of course, what this programme primarily incentivises is farmers who have the land at the moment to actually incorporate forestry as part of their land holding. Obviously, Quilshire as well have played a very significant role and continue to play a significant role, and will continue to play a really important role in relation to forestry in this country and in relation to plantation as well. And we'd like to see that continue. But the key objective here is to actually back farm families to adopt this. And
yeah.
I believe the new programme
will
be really strongly
do that. Which is my question about
that
Quilshire House, Gresham House joint venture. You know, that's driving, or will drive up the cost of agricultural land. Would it not be better off to allow farmers now to do that rather than hand it out to a joint company?
We are first and foremost
what I'm saying
farmers.
Is, say we don't need a private British firm, or I think it might be a US firm now that is taken over, coming into Ireland and buying up the land.
Yeah, and listen, in relation to that was one small overall, it's 1% of the total planting that Quilshire planned to do in relation to that particular deal. And certainly in relation to the engagement I have with Quilshire, we want to support Quilshire in terms of how they might work with farmers in relation to actually increasing afforestation.
I want to talk to you about targets then, and how does this affect your targets? Because you had targets when you came into government of 8,000 trees being planted per year. You've missed those every single year. The closest you've come to is 2,500, actually less than that in 1 year. I don't think you've even reached 8,000 over 3 years, never mind 8,000 over 1 year. What are your targets now? Will you stick to the 8,000, and what are you hoping to achieve?
Yeah, the 8,000 hectares per year is our target. It's our target under the Climate Action Plan as well, that being an average. And the rationale behind this really, really strong programme and this really unprecedented investment that we've announced today is to actually support farmers in relation to actually achieving that 8,000 hectares. So I mean, as I say, the change in premiums is between 44 and 66%. So any farmer that plants this year compared to last year, that's the increase that they'll see in their annual premiums. And also they'll receive those annual premiums for an extra 5 years. So a 33% increase in the number of years that they'll also get it. So it's a really, really strong step change because we want to achieve those targets, and we want to see farmers leading out in relation to benefiting from it as well.
Coming very much on the back foot then, aren't you? If you're averaging around 2,500 for the last 3 years when you're meant to be getting 8,000.
There's no doubt. Listen, I mean, over the last 2 or 3 years, the planting rates have been disappointing, and this is a really
lowest in 50 years, I think.
It has been, yes. And that's something we want to change. And this programme is the most attractive and strongest funded programme we've ever introduced. And that's because we want to actually change that and meet that 8,000 hectares target and see farmers leading out in relation to meeting it and benefiting from it.
Of course, one of the problems as well is delays in licensing, especially in afforestation, private felling licences. Government failed to achieve its own targets on that in nearly two thirds of the weeks in 2022.
Yeah, and it has been, but we have got on top of that issue now. Unfortunately, back in 2019, there was a court decision which significantly changed the amount of time and resources required to assess each and every individual forestry application, which led to a significant backlog. And working along with Minister of State Pippa Hackett, who's done very strong work in this regard, we've worked to ensure that additional resources being put in place, that that backlog has been addressed. So now farmers under this new programme, whenever they submit a new licence, and we're opening for applications from today, for example, under the new programme. Whenever farmers now apply for these licences, they will get them in a normal time frame and a time frame which they would have expected in the past and have addressed the actual backlog which had been in place.
What number of trees do we need to plant to achieve our climate targets?
Well, 8,000 hectares per year is
between now and 2030.
Yes, is our target under the climate action
plan.
So
what do we have left now to plant between now and 2030? Have you made that calculation? What do we need to be planting every year?
Well, we want to get to an average of 8,000. So over the last year, if I recall, it was about 3,000 hectares. So, and listen, you know, I've laid out the significant increases there. And another significant step we've taken in this forestry plan as well is for farmers who want to plant 1 hectare on their land, that they don't have to go through the same licensing process that they used to have in the past, if it's up to 1 hectare. So what we'd like to encourage is farmers to look at as many farmers as possible to incorporate a small amount of forestry in their farms and to benefit from the income from that. So I think the range of options we're offering now really does offers the potential to get to that 8,000 mark and indeed to go above it too.
Well, you will. You'll need to go above it in order to catch up. I want to move on to some of the news that we got today. That is that the European Commission has said there won't be any flexibility for farmers who signed up to the nitrates derogation scheme. Farmers are already responding very unhappy about this news. What do you say to farmers who are saying that they were relying on you to get this over the line and they could now be possibly looking at having to reduce their herds?
And listen, I've been working very closely with farmers over the course of the last year on this issue, and I put together a stakeholders committee of farm representatives to actually address this challenge and to work to ensure that we're making progress in relation to water quality, because in terms of how we farm, good water quality is essential, and farmers are doing massive work across the country in relation to that, and no more so than farmers who are working under the derogation, because they're taking many extra steps as well at farm level. Unfortunately, we haven't achieved the progress that we needed to under our current derogation, which we're halfway through, to be able to maintain the 250 kilos of organic nitrogen per hectare maximum that we have.
Whose
under
fault
that
is
derogation.
That?
It's a reflection of the fact that we haven't met the criteria needed to. So collectively, we have to take steps which actually will see us improve water quality. It has been disimproved in some instances, but been
so
static.
So is this farmers' own fault then that they didn't manage to meet the targets that they needed?
No, I think it's something that takes a little bit of time to actually work out. But the challenge has been over the last number of years, our water quality hasn't been improving.
So that's why I'm asking, who's responsible for that?
Well, listen, collectively, it's the responsibility and work of all of us.
Minister.
Well, it is. I mean, it's all of our work.
Well, not all of us, though.
No, I'm talking collectively for myself, farmers, everyone in the agricultural sector.
Right, okay.
And indeed outside of that as well, because there's significant issues in towns and villages as well, particularly in relation to phosphorus and urban waste, which is relevant here as well. But we do know, we're one of just 3 countries at European level which have this derogation. It's something which is important to farmers. We've 7,000 farmers out of our 130,000 family farms who avail of it. Within that 7,000 farmers, there's about 3,000 of those farmers who are between the 250 and the 220 and will be affected by this.
Will there be culls of herds, do you think, in order to reach this?
There's a number of options available to farmers now in relation to staying under that 220. So, for example, farmers can work with tillage farmers in their area to actually export slurry and be used on other farms and keep under the 220. My department will work closely with farmers to support them in every way possible. Also, I have a new investment fund as well under the target TAMS, which will see significant investment in between 40 and 60% grants to farmers as well to continue the work of increasing increasing storage at farm level and other on-farm investments, which will make a real impact. And farmers have been doing a lot in relation to this, Sarah.
Okay.
The key objective now is to work with them to make sure we keep that derogation, that we're in a strong place to renew it in 2 years' time, because we may be of only, at the moment we're one of only three, we may be one of only one or two whenever it comes to that point in time, and we have to work together to make sure that we retain it, because it's really important to our agricultural model.
All right, I just want to ask you finally then, I don't know if you saw last night's prime time, Rita O'Reilly had a report in which she was speaking to family members in your own county, Donegal, and also in Mayo, who are suffering from mica and pyrite, as they have been doing for the last couple of years. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you saw the mushrooms growing on the walls and the black mould, and the woman who only had two sockets working in her house because there's rainwater coming through the cracks, tripping the electrics. I mean, the conditions that people have been left living in for the last couple of years because they can't get access to the grant. It's a real proper disgrace, isn't it?
It's not acceptable, the delays that we have seen in terms of getting the scheme up and running. And yes, I did see the programme, Sarah, but I didn't have to see it to have seen it, because I've been living it in my community for a number of years now, and I've been working at government level to deliver the scheme that we have. The scheme that we have is a really strong one. What we have to make sure now is that actually it gets fully actioned and then everybody gets the opportunity to fully avail of it.
Do you have the latest figures for how many people who have a...
So at the moment we have had about 50 homes completed where remediation has been complete.
50 homes out of an estimate of 5,000.
Let me give you the figures. So we've about 50 underway. Donegal County Council also has provided approval to up to 850 in terms of the remediation option. Those 850 now need to be approved by the council and fully transferred to the new scheme. I'm confident, Sarah, having worked hard to deliver the scheme, that whenever people get the access to it and whenever those 850 are transferred to it, the issues that were there with the previous scheme will have been dealt with.
Well they're telling you that there are still issues, Minister, just finally on this.
People will get the support that
they need. They are very concerned, even if they get access to the grant scheme and get the money that they need, that they're going to be building new houses and spending an awful lot of money on foundations that aren't fit for purpose.
Well, I mean, the government are being guided by the science and by the engineers in this at all times. In relation to a house that's being demolished, Sarah, all blocks, underground and overground, are fully removed in relation to that. And the government are taking advice as well from the science and engineers in relation to the poured concrete foundation part, which are underneath the sub-floor blocks.
So that might change.
And we'll be fully guided by the science as we are up until now. But having worked hard to get this scheme and to get it in place, I'm confident that whenever people are fully transferred to it, and that needs to happen very, very quickly now, that it will very strongly support them. And the government commitment is very strong in that regard. And the unfortunate reality is that given the flaws in the previous scheme, many homeowners are still suffering in the experience which your programme last night showed, and which we have to have remedied. And the 50 people who've had their houses fixed, the 50 who's underway, that has to be massively increased, and every home get the support they need to get their home
All
fixed.
All right. Minister Charlie McConnell, thank you very much for joining us.